All right. We are here. You are here. And we hope you had a good integration break. To let that sink in, the changes that occurred, the changes that are going on. And we can see by looking at your energy that you're indeed shifting, changing. And when we mean change, we're not talking about who you are. We're talking about the stuff. We're talking about the social integrator stuff that you're kind of dispossessing yourself of. The stuff shifting around, creating new gestalts, new energy patterns in the chaos now. In the lull between the old and the new. So we'd like to talk a bit about beginning the new. Resetting, reformatting, creating a new paradigm, a new foundation for relationships. Knowing what you know now. And knowing the basic concept of metaphysics is that your reality is a reflection of who you are and what you're working on and what you need to pay attention to. In the light of relationships, the place of greatest growth, greatest acceleration of spiritual awareness and awakening, the greatest feedback to you of who you are, to repattern, to connect with a new future and put yourself on a new life track with more love, harmony, peace, joy. You need to stay in choice. You need to stay connected to that observer. This doesn't mean that your detachment is any kind of numbing out, avoidance, escape, or elevating yourself ego-wise to make judgment or pass analysis on others. But that detachment is from the social integrator program. So you can see beyond the knee-jerk, automatic, subconscious pattern reflexes to what is really working, what is really happening, what's going on, and what feedback does it have for you? If you have a relationship with someone who's very intimidating, very judgmental, very controlling, what feedback does that give you? If you, in response to that individual, shrink down, become the child to the parent, tiptoe around, intimidated, hoping not to stir up the hornet's nest, who do you become? If your partner seems to be mostly absent, not very present, mostly likes to escape, what does that say for you? How do you respond to that? Do you feel rejected, alone? What goes on? What self do you become? And if your partner tends to be over-obsessed with getting you to listen to them all the time, rattling off everything, expecting you to be dragged along like the little follow along like a puppy. To be their support day in and day out. To give them attention, to give them love day in and day out. What do you learn from that? Where do you go? How do you respond? What self do you step into? Regardless of what your partner does, in any relationship situation, be it friendship, love, business, or simply casually over the counter at the store, it's all a feedback to you about where you are and what self of you you are claiming. Now, in the past, of course, you were a child. Authentically, you were a child. And you know that place. You know what it feels like to be in that place of the child, perhaps the wounded child. There was a creative or imaginative child. You know what that's like, too. You may have lost a lot of that in school, in the regimentation. But most of where you lose your spark, you lose your energy, lose your sense of, beautiful sense of self, is in the relationships with your family. The ones you can't escape. Oh yeah, in adolescence you can go off by yourself and mope and feel self-pity and do your thing. And young adulthood, you can live alone, you can be a hermit. And when you're by yourself and you notice, you know, that there's no tension, no stress in a relationship, how marvelous is being alone, really. You're free of having to do all that interaction. But of course, you're not getting feedback either from external. You have to get feedback from internal. But when you look at relationships, being by yourself, being in solitude, can be very rejuvenating, very refreshing. But for many of you, it's a repair place from the duress and the stress of all the interactions with people. Yes, there are times when you need solitude for your own self, for your spiritual connection, for your expansion of yourself, for your creative expression. To think, to reflect, to understand, to orient. And we do not discourage solitude at all for that. But we do not recommend solitude just as an escape. Because then you don't get the message. When you escape, essentially what you do is that you return to a former image of yourself. The one who always had to adjust to other people. You return to an adolescent or child orientation where it's either, if you're with people, you have to please them, entertain them, do something so they'll like you. But phew, it's so good to be off stage and be by yourself. And get away from it. And read a nice novel or watch a good movie or something to escape. You kind of understand when you read novels and watch movies and so forth. Or when you escape that a lot of this is just part of the social integrator pattern. Look at all these high body count macho movies. There's always a hero. We mentioned this before. The hero, the single one who can save the planet and so on. You know that these movies are extremely popular with men. And particularly adolescent males. Adolescent and young adult males love these. Even little boys love these. Why? There are the imprinting of the man code. You identify with the hero, of course, when you watch a movie. And if you're a guy and you're the hero who's got lots of muscles and tremendous weaponry and a high level of intelligence, and everybody's like, whoa, about him, then in that brief time of identifying with him, a man or a boy can temporarily escape the shame, can temporarily be the hero, identify with success, and feel the testosterone high, the social integrator seduces men with. Anytime a man wins a one-up, he gets a burst of testosterone, feels great. When a man's testosterone gets low and his estrogen gets high, he becomes calmer, kinder, perhaps a little bit more gentle. But the shame can be worse. And he needs a fix. He needs some testosterone. This is the training of the man code. You gotta have lots of testosterone. And we would say that probably what is considered normal testosterone levels in a young man are too high. The culture has gone testosterone crazy. Look at the wars, the violence. Look at the pattern of rage. All the, in a sense, the being able to counteract, compensate for the shame. The more testosterone, the less shame one is able to feel. They found that traders on the stock exchange, when they have successful trades, their testosterone really takes a big jump up. When they make money, testosterone goes up. When they even think about making money, testosterone goes up. It's a high, hormonal high for men. Even women get a testosterone lift when they achieve something. Testosterone really pumps energy, hormonal energy. However, the fact that this culture that you're in and the whole planetary, the human culture, has been so testosterone-oriented via the social integrator for a while, and so diminishing of the feminine, i.e. the estrogen. And we're not saying that estrogen is always sweet and nice and wimpy. There's tough estrogen too. Have you ever seen a mother fighting for her children? You see tough estrogen. Sometimes a woman who has to be in charge of things has to get strong, get powerful, lead. That's a powerful estrogen. But it's also more connected to community than testosterone. Testosterone is me alone. Me, I, the success, the focus on me. In a personal relationship, the testosterone and the estrogen has to be taken into account. Whether it's a straight relationship or a gay one. And to understand that there are certain rewards given by the social integrator energetically. They dangle carrots of high energy in front of you if you will engage in certain behaviors. You learn these instinctively, automatically, subconsciously. They just run and run and run. So how is a conscious person going to break these seductions and rewards? Of course, as soon as you take the reward, there's an energy loss later. It just was a seducer. It's like taking a hit of a drug for an addict. That first hit. Yes! Yes! I feel powerful. Yes! On top of things. And then 15 minutes later, an hour later, whenever it starts to abate, I need more. I need more of that. I'm not enough now. The addict gets hooked into that first rush. But afterwards, the energy is drained. The social integrator says, oh, that was yummy. They took the bait. In relationships, you take the bait too. Because in relationships, the social integrator dangles that carrot of this ideal relationship, the ideal, the great happiness, the grand view, the great fulfillment, the success on top of the world. And with the coming of New Age philosophies and ideas, starting slowly and becoming more and more prominent through the years, and then exploding in the 70s. The whole idea, well, wait a minute, you create your reality, so you too can be up here. You too can. It is actually possible for you to hit this ideal that the social integrator gives you. You can do it. You can have it all. You can have the fabulous life. Dangling that carrot in front of you. And unfortunately, the social integrator continues to do their thing. And so many people doing New Age techniques and trips on going and doing all sorts of seminars where everybody holds hands and sings and chants and drums and even the whole men's spiritual movement. Beautiful. Men bonding and being able to be with other men without being ridiculed, without being attacked, learning how to create safety. It all has still been, for the most part, still managed, still controlled, still influenced, still pressured to take certain paths, certain patterns by the social integrator. And there are new social integrators coming up, new groups being formed, new philosophies being put together. Like, for example, the Course of Miracles. That's a new social integrator. That's a new construct. People write books about it, go on talk shows, do seminars, classes, people study. It's almost like a religion now already. They're looking for adherents, more people to come in and do the Course of Miracles. We're not saying anything against the Course of Miracles. It's a nice, basic, metaphysical course. It's good for people to learn some of this stuff. But you have to understand, we're talking with you today. The information we're telling you today, we're bringing forth to you today, wasn't really available 10 years ago, 20 years ago. People didn't see it. There wasn't enough evolution, you might say, to be able to rise above the consensus enough to see what was really going on. As you go from one level of awareness to another level, you see that the rules kind of change. Reality appears different. Your interaction with reality becomes different. As you become more empowered, you look through a different filter at things. You perceive things differently. You interpret things differently. And therefore, your reality responds to you completely differently. Your expectations change. Your story, your personal story about everything that's happened to you, which explains everything bad that could happen to you, which you repeat over, and you have that ready access should you meet somebody new. That story's about the past. When you didn't know what you were doing, you thought you did because you knew more than you had before. But you hadn't gotten over the wall, looked over and peeked over the wall, and seen that this wall, the social integrator, the social training, had always been your limitation. Now, the Course in Miracles is a more expanded and a lighter social integrator. But it still functions the same way. People give their energy, their power, to the Course of Miracles. It's kind of like an advanced form of, what do they call it, positive thinking. There's good basic metaphysics in there. But now, basic metaphysics is even shifting to a certain extent. Or the interpretation of it, let us say. It's becoming more unique to you because as you evolve, as you get beyond the consensus viewpoints, as you begin to look with love and compassion at how everybody's been run by these programs of the social integrator, unconscious and unaware, you can start to make different responses, reactions, and take new actions. You can start to see how you have made things big deals in the past and blown yourself, blown your success, attracted the leveling forces, attracted the parent who's going to come take your toy away. Because it's creating all sorts of drama for you. And you step beyond drama, step beyond the big deal, and you find there, much to your surprise, a richness, a flow, a divine rich flow, a substance flow, a fulfillment of the divine, of love. And this love is not like love you'd felt before. Yeah, when you were a teenager, you had a crush. You thought that was love. When you got into your young adult stage and you probably had a more serious relationship or a marriage or something. That was love. And that kind of got a little bit stale or got faded or got distracted. But the love we're talking about here is the beginning of new levels. Remember, it's always going to be new levels. What we're talking about today, in 20 years, will be passé. Not totally passé, because it will apply to still people who are still coming up through the process. But to you, you'll be on another level. You'll see the reality a bit differently even. So remember this. How you perceive your reality is determined by how you see yourself, your identity, your self-image, who you perceive yourself to be, and how true to yourself you are willing by your will, your true will, to be. What your motivation is. Not the motivation of the social integrator. Everybody thinks the social integrator has trained you to be motivated to acquire things, to have a good relationship, the forms, get the forms going, do the right behaviors, do the right practices, do the right meditations, do change yourself, fix yourself so you're nice, so you're good, so you can do this, so you'll be appreciated, so you'll be loved, so all this. Earning the rewards. And you're going to have to get out of earning entirely. You know, it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around it that there's nothing to earn. There's no cause and effect to get stuck in. If I do this, then I'll get this. No. They're not really related that much. But the idea is, if I do this, I can get to the state of being where I can choose this if I want it. It's a different concept, yes? Can you see how there's no earning there? If you can do this with relationships, you can do this across the board in your life. Your life will become sublime. The divine flow will just kick in. You'll be in a momentum, ever expanding, of more fun, more joy, more happiness, more satisfaction with your life. And how do you get there? How do you get that self-image right? Well, the first thing is, if you notice, when you think about all the relationships you have now, the important, significant relationships you have, and the ones you have had, notice how so often you do what the social integrator wants you to do, is to focus on the problems to fix them. You focus on the dissatisfactions. What's not right? What's out of balance? We gotta monitor it. We gotta stay on top of it and keep it from being out of balance. So here it looks like it's getting out of balance. We gotta focus on that and fix that. Oh, over here, it's going out of balance. We gotta focus on that and fix that. It might require process. I might have to go back into my childhood and do something. I might have to meditate something. I might have to program something. I might have to go and get some assistance from a coach or now, we're not discounting any of that. That's really good stuff. But it's not imperative when you realize who you are. When you realize who you are, the main thing you need to do is to get back into you and find the you you want to be. And from that position, you can make your choices. You can make your decisions of actions and take appropriate actions. You can really feel and own what you want, and you can feel your gut level knowing. You'll be in contact with gut level knowing. How many of you have had a time when you have to make decisions, and it looks like big decisions in your life? Shall I continue with this relationship? Shall I move to there? Shall I take this job or leave this job? Or big life decisions. How do you make those decisions? How do you make those calls? What does a social integrator suggest you do? The social integrator says you need to think about it very carefully and analyze it, and you need to make the best decision. And you need to make a good decision, because if you make a bad decision, life's going to suck for you. How much pressure does that put on you? Oh my gosh, I've got to make the right decision. What is the right decision? I don't know. How do I make the right decision? Oh, well, I guess I got to think about it. I got to figure it out. I'll write down. I'll do some journaling. I'll talk to a counselor. I'll go into meditation. I'll try and get messages. I'll do tarot, astrology. I'll do something. Give me feedback. Tell me what to do. When you are in your own power, in your choice, in your divine self, If you go there, then all I have to do is like, okay, gut, subconscious, soul level of self. What feels right for you? Now, in that very high state, you open up your channel of communication with soul. Those of you who are aware of big events, soul events in your life, where huge choices, huge changes are made that change you forever. If you're aware at that time, you feel a deep shift going on somewhere down deep in you. It's like it happens down in your gut. Something deep shifts. It moves. Now, not all of you have been aware of that. But if you are aware of that, you can see, oh my gosh, something's going down in soul. Something's happening down underneath. I can feel something happen. It's like the ground is moving way down under there. Now, it has nothing to do with this, but it's like if you remember in the movie Jaws, okay, that there is this theme. It was this, okay. And so when that happened, you were tipped off as the viewer of the movie. Uh-oh. Something's happening in the deep. Something's moving down there. That's when the sharks come, right? Of course, it's triggered to be something very scary, right? Very threatening. But the point is that whoever wrote that sound, the music for that movie was so astute to realize that's feeling like souls moving. Something's moving down deep in the unconscious. In that old scary area called the unconscious. However, at this time on the planet, the unconscious is becoming less and less scary for those of you who've been on the spiritual path. The unconscious, the gargoyles, the demons of the astral plane, all the pain and suffering and addictions, they're all hooked into the unconscious mind. Physical manifestation is hooked into the conscious, unconscious mind. If you become friends with the unconscious mind, you can affect incredible, wonderful, fabulous manifestations because it's safe for you to manifest. Your spiritual path is to become conscious. You know that part. The next stage of your spiritual path is what you're working on, been working on for a while, is to become conscious of your subconscious. In other words, conscious of your patterns. Of habits. So much of the social integrator has just determined lots of your patterns and habits. So you've been dismantling patterns and habits and patterns and habits and patterns and habits. Your habit of responding in a certain way, of reacting this way, of feeling that way upon certain triggers. You've got all of that lined up and set up with the social integrator. But you're in a new phase, especially since 2012 is finished. 2013, the beginning of the new world, here it is. You don't really quite know how to function completely in it yet. It's a new level. It's an unknown. Now you're going to the next stage of your spiritual journey, which is to make the unconscious conscious. And that, when you do that, you can connect with soul and you can get deliberately open to your gut level knowing and know how to live your life moment by moment in your power, in your light, and in your truth. When you connect with soul down deep, listen to soul. Now, there's so many healing methods, alternative healing methods, and psychological healing and physical healing and so on, that are based now on the muscle testing technique. You know about that one, right? You muscle test. The body knows yes or no. If the body goes weak, you know this is a no. If the body is strong, it's a yes. If you test an organ and the body's strong, that organ is good. If you test the body for an organ and it's weak, it means that organ is challenged. It's a very valuable way of getting information. It's the beginning of connecting to gut-level knowing. It needed to come in. It was significant. It was important. But if you've ever done a lot of muscle testing type of work, you realize that it's very easily affected by your ego, by what you anticipate and what you expect, i.e., it's totally responsive to what you believe. If you believe this, it's going to test yes. If you don't believe it, it will test no. And therefore, you go to a practitioner who specializes in doing all this muscle testing. You have accepted that you're going to work with a person whose muscle testing is based on his or her belief system, i.e., how he or she interprets the social integrator. It's not like you're going to find complete and final true information that is totally true to you. It's only capable to the extent of the operator or the practitioner, and to what extent you can listen to yourself anyway and allow your inner self to respond correctly to that person's system. We don't discourage you from doing it, but just know that there's a caveat there. It's not always perfect. It's not always accurate. Let's put it that way. So, you want to find this yourself. And from your unconscious, from your foundation of soul, to find your truth. And in a relationship, if you hold on to your truth, it becomes a beautiful dream. Oh yeah, there's some strategies. We'll share those with you. And we have already talked about them. But the most important thing is to hear your soul, hear your body and your soul are working together. Your body is going to respond to soul. And you have two power centers in your body. You have the lower power and the higher power center. And by higher power, we're not talking about God and that kind of thing, but we're talking about just for body power, for connection. And that is the lower one is the solar plexus. This is where you get your gut level knowing. This is the power of the body. This is in that solar plexus, in that abdominal area, you have the hara. Now those who see auras see that this is the power light. This is you can see the power's turned on in the body because there's a beam of light that goes straight from the bottom to through the top, grounding below, grounding above, and somewhere around the navel there's a big bright orangey light. And when we were looking at your photographs and working with the photographs of those of you who sent your photographs in before the seminar, we noticed that the key theme of this seminar, surprisingly enough, was going to be about the gut, about getting in touch with the gut, that that's the secret to good relationships. Who would have thought, right? From logic, you don't think that way. But the seat of your power, you've got to be powerful in a relationship. Not controlling, not manipulative, but powerful. You've got to be in your power, in your will. And where do you feel your will? Solar plexus. Now that's the lower will or the lower power. The higher power, higher will, is more in your throat. And this is where you express your uniqueness, express your intentions. Fifth chakra, throat, third chakra, solar plexus. In between, the heart, the love. The power below, the power above, supporting and protecting and embellishing the intentions, the desires, the love of the heart chakra. It's a beautiful system set up for you. But if you spend all your time in fear, in a small self, shrunk back into a self that you used to be, then you get too much focus on the root chakra, security, safety, security. And you'll make that choice. You'll make a safety, security choice when you're confronted with a challenge rather than an empowered choice. In a relationship, if you make a security, safety, security choice instead of an empowered choice, that relationship will have problems. And more problems. And yet more problems. So, think about a decision that you've made. A big decision. And realize that the way you made that decision was by connecting with your body soul. In some way. Yeah, you logically figured it all out. You made your decision analytically, you thought about it and so forth. But when the push comes down to shove, how do you really make a decision? Gut. Or you actually see it and you know it, that you make a decision and you take an action based on logic that overrules the gut. And you can feel that too. There's a tension. There's a little twist, a little stress. I really should do it this way. Even though I don't feel it's quite right, but somehow I have to do it this way. I've got to do it this way. That's a social integrator saying, no, 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 no. Don't listen to your gut. Do it by logic. Do the right choice. And if you will feel in your gut, you'll feel that if you look at one choice, one option, and you just feel, oh, is this the truest or truer option for me? And you feel in your gut, and you imagine yourself taking that option and what that's going to be. And if it's a good one, you will feel a tension, or feel a relaxation. It'll be smooth. There won't be any action going on. So that's either a yes or a maybe. If somehow or another you feel a tension, however, that's a no or a maybe. The maybe part is that there's probably a condition that needs to be addressed first, or there's some more information about some aspect of it, or something you don't know, or something that needs to be evaluated on its own first. A subcategory that needs to be evaluated. For example, if you're thinking about working with somebody or having a relationship with someone and you feel in your gut and it feels tense and you're thinking, well, that's funny. I've just been feeling so happy with this person, but there's some tension in there when I'm thinking about making more of a commitment or becoming more intimate. Then you need to sit with it and feel the tension, go into it and say, what is this about? What is the message that is being sent? And what you might find is that this message that's being sent to you is that, well, we didn't quite resolve that last issue we had. And it's still up for grabs, and we need to resolve that so that we're we know where we stand with each other on that. Yeah, that just seems to come up. Okay, so let me imagine that we've resolved that and we have figured that out and it's all resolved and harmonious. Let me now sense. Okay, what about this person? If that was it, suddenly you feel smooth. It's smooth. It's quiet, calm. Your solar plexus is relaxed. This is a sense of relaxation. If it's something that's really, really good for you, your body's going to give you a sense of temperature change even. Could be a warmth, could be a cool feeling. It could be a relaxation that's body-wide. Wow, that feels really good. And you just sit there and you just kind of bask in it and feel it and start imagining the future. You can imagine the future. You can start talking to yourself, imagining what it's going to feel like, what it's going to be like, what you're going to do, blah, blah, blah. And you can feel in your gut a response. Okay, we can go and then we can travel. We'll travel to Italy. Ooh, no. There's a tension there. What's the problem? What is that? Oh, I'm afraid about my passport thing because I'm so behind her. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay. Let that go now, imagine. Okay, it's smooth. All right, so you see what we're doing here. So we're suggesting that you get more connection to your inner knowing. And if you find yourself trying to talk yourself out of something, I should do this. I really should do this. This person is really putting pressure on me. I need to go ahead and make the decision for this. But underneath your gut saying, no, 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 don't go there. You're being challenged. Which self are you now? Are you going to be the obedient, compliant one to the social integrator? And you're going to let somebody else pressure you into doing something you don't want? If you do, you're abandoning yourself. Even if you think this is the right thing, I should be doing it, I should, I really, really should want to do this, I should do this, this is what I really should do. Social integrator is getting good and strong there. To override what you know, a resistance that you have, something that says, wait a minute, no, 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 you don't have, you shouldn't go there yet, no, no, no. Every one of you has experienced that at some point, haven't you? The social integrator won out. You're at a place, though, now that in order to make that unconscious conscious, in order to be able to expand your reality in such a way that you can have the relationships you want, have the spiritual path that you want, have even the material things that you want, you need to start really listening to your gut. Allowing soul to speak through body from down deep. To make that unconscious part of yourself safe for you. If you don't listen to it, if you don't respond to it, if you don't follow it, you're basically saying, it's not safe, it's not okay to be me. I must follow the social integrator. This is a big conflict. You've been having this conflict essentially your whole life. So when are you going to let it go? The technology, the vibration, the resonance is here now in this new world, in this unknown that has begun as of 2013. To offer you the chance to live according to your own creed, to your own truth, to your own knowing. And by doing so, to have total support from your reality. You don't get support from your reality unless you do that. If you follow the social integrator, you don't get support. You get your energy taken. As we said before, the leaders are the ones who follow their own truth, or they have more of a hint of it, and those who don't carry around the burden of guilt. No, we're not recommending that you be a sociopath or psychopath. We recommend, though, that you listen to your gut and you prioritize you. You prioritize what you know. Now, some of you have spent so much time avoiding listening to your gut because it was always in so much conflict with what you were had to do, what you were supposed to do, what you needed to do, all the necessity, all the pressure, all the demands of your life. It's going to take some practice for you to get back in touch with your essential self. But it's easier to do if by choice you step into your observer, and from your observer you step into your expanded, awake, conscious, spiritual, divine self. And you own your divinity as much as you possibly can. Every time you own a little piece of it, every time you start to give yourself permission and authority to own your spirituality, to own your divinity by your nature, you have greater access to your knowing. And every time you take that step, the mirror reflection you get from your reality, the feedback you get from your reality, is going to give you the options. It's going to put the challenges that you get are going to be good challenges, sweet challenges, empowering challenges. Because the challenge, instead of saying, okay, how are you going to deal with this stress? How are you going to deal with this issue? Is basically going to say, who are you? Listen to yourself. What do you know? And what's right for you? Prioritize you. It's only then that you can do the following strategies for relationship, happy relationships, successfully. If you get lost in the social integrator, you're going to be swept away. You can be destroyed, manipulated, torn apart, distracted, and thrown in a heap by your relationships. Oh yeah, you can have some nice ones, but they require work. Lots of work. You get stuck into earning good relationships. First of all, we want to point out that in relationships, the way to really get to know somebody and yourself is to argue with them. People don't know really how to reveal themselves until it push comes to shove and it's important enough and they've got enough passion revved up that they really move the energy and they can really express where they're at. In fact, for some people, if they don't get angry a lot, they have no energy. It's the way that they get their motivation on track, the way they get their passion, and they align what's important for them. Don't wait until you're angry to figure out what you want. Because metaphysically speaking, you know that if you focus on what you don't want and you focus on the dissatisfactions, you're going to be on a life track filled with those. Yes, social integrator says, focus on the dissatisfactions. Focus on the problems. Fix them. Then, by default, your life should be okay. It doesn't work that way. You focus on what you want, and the little nagging problems, the dissatisfactions, will fade. You have a little tiny victory or a little sweet moment. Make it a big deal, just for the fun of it. What's interesting is that when you make a big deal and you're in love and you're in happiness and you're in bliss, you're out of range of the social integrator. the leveling forces don't come after you. Whoa. There's no charge, though. There's no stress. You're in your natural state of being outside the consensus, outside the reach of the social integrator. So think about it. It's your choice what you focus on. And you can make your decisions and you can be fully present in a relationship. And if, as long as you are consciously, by choice, committed to you, you can have a relationship that really works well. And all your relationships will be beautiful, fascinating. And the challenges that come up enable you to be more of you. And as you're more of you, you love and value yourself more. You have more love and value to give. Everybody wants, and this is everybody's ego, wants to feel important or significant. Personal significance is really critical. Everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants to be given supportive attention to. Everybody. You can do that without any resentment, fully, freely, and not lose any energy if you do it from your power state. If you do it through the social integrator, it's a requirement. You have to work to support somebody else. It's effort, and you're earning something. You're earning approval as a good person. Don't work hard to be a good person. You already are. Let it go. You don't have to show anybody that you're kind, caring, powerful, loving, important. You don't have to show anybody that. Nobody. Let it go. You value and love yourself. You don't need validation from other people. You don't need people to say you're significant, you're important. And when you don't have that need, you're free of the social integrator, which works through the ego. So, you're in a relationship. You're interacting with somebody, any kind of relationship, and they pose you a challenge. They're dissatisfied. They're complaining about something. Either they're complaining about something you did, or they're complaining about something in their life. As some of you women know, that the whole kind of quote-unquote girlfriend thing is to get together and complain. Why some of you just prefer solitude to girlfriends. But when somebody comes up with a complaint, a dissatisfaction, an unhappiness, a problem, or something, it's important for you to realize, number one, that these problems and all these things are just little tantalizing, seductive hooks from this social integrator. You have to stay conscious. If you want to really get free of this, you know? Now, admittedly, there's going to be times you forget entirely and you get wrapped up in taking it personally and reacting and trying to solve the problem and all that kind of stuff. And you can get into an argument with somebody that will not take you anywhere. But if a problem comes up, an argument comes up, stay in detachment, step back, step into your empowered self, step back to connect with body soul. Yeah, anytime a dissatisfaction or something from somebody else shows up, there's going to be some tension in your solar plexus. Uh-oh. Do you think you're being attacked? Be aware. If you do, that's what the social integrator wants you to feel. Are you being manipulated? That's what the social integrator wants you to feel. What if you respond entirely differently? What if you listen to their complaint and instead of thinking about yourself, okay, think about this person is unhappy. What if this person were really happy? What if this person was doing something that was giving them great satisfaction and they were just happy camper? I know this person is suffering over this or that, and I know what they'd really like to do. They'd really like to play in a band, but they have to earn a living, so they've made this adjustment. Now I'm getting some flack from them because they're not happy and they're dissatisfied. Well, let me imagine them playing in the band and having a great time, making loads of money. Let me imagine them living their dream. You could do this with a person who's close to you, far away, doesn't matter. Feel like you have a beam of light just coming out of your heart with love and go over and hit them. Do you see how this is a different response? Now you can do all of this in a couple of seconds, really. Once you get the hang of it, maybe the first time it takes a few seconds to kind of reorient. And you can always use the time-honored tradition of the channel's grandmother, which he wanted to delay and slow down time. To think. She'd put her index finger up, pointing straight up. This is the universal sign for stop. Wait, just a minute. Right? You can do that too. And you can even do it over the phone. Say, wait a minute. Hold on, just a sec. Let me feel this out. Let me sense this. Let me hear what you're feeling, what you're saying, what you're needing, blah, 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 blah. Most of the time, if you will go into your light self, into your power, honoring you, and not get caught up in the social integrator thing, whatever that dissatisfaction or problem is, will dissolve quickly. Just about every single time it will be no big deal. Because you're not making it a big deal. If you get into reaction mode, damn it, why did you have to do that? That's so stressful. What do we have to do about this? Oh my gosh, I don't have the time to deal with this. Blah, blah, blah. And you get all bent out of shape and stuff. You've made it a big deal. Uh-oh. The problem is just now expanding. The person's now getting more upset. You're getting more upset. Now you're going to have an argument in which nobody is served. Just as a dump. Just dump, 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 back and forth. Now after that, when everybody's calmed down, you and the other calm down, you could possibly get together and discuss it. And now all the energy's off of it. It's no big deal now. And you could figure something out and find a good resolution. But in the moment, you don't think about that. You think only about defending yourself. You don't think only about defending your image as smart, capable, important, good. Because any time a challenge or problem is brought to you, it's a challenge to your self-image. That's when you react. That's when the social integrator gets you. You see how vulnerable you are without even knowing it? Social integrator knows where your hooks are. This person wants to be seen as easygoing and friendly. Guess what? You're going to get challenges to be a total bitch or a bear, right? You get that so that you can heal your self-image. Realize this is a positive. But a lot of people get into high dudgeon. They feel indignant. And that's them getting on their high horse. and I'm important, and this is like, why are you doing this to me? Taking it very personally. Why do I have to do more of this? Stop putting pressure on me. Stop get off my case. You know, take care of it yourself. You may not say that because you've been trained not to say that. Been trained to say, okay, well, all right. Well, that's not my job. I can't do it now. I've got some excuse. Whatever it is that you've done, that's been you dancing out of power, no power, dancing with a social integrator who's sucking your energy. You think that person is sucking your energy? Yes, there are people who are energy leeches. And why? And how are they energy leeches? Because they hook into your weak, vulnerable place in the social integrator, where the social integrator can suck your energy the best. And you track these people to you. If you have a lot of people who suck energy in your life, stress you out, tire you out, wear you out in your life, this is your reality, supportive, loving reality, bringing you that information. This is where your hook is. That's the message. You get hooked into the guilt, and then you react, because guilt is really, on a one level, it's anger. You feel like you don't have any right to, you shouldn't be angry, but you really are, but you can't express it, but you really want to. You suppress it down into guilt, and then you get manipulated, then you get punished. Anytime you're guilty, recognize you're going to get punished. People who go around with a sack of guilt on them all the time, sadness and guilt, they attract the worst life situations. Seriously. They attract victim-causing situations. Why? Because their reality is saying, hello, here's where you're just throwing your life away. Stop giving in. Stop giving up. Stop going into guilt all the time. It's not your fault. Stop that. Get angry. Let your anger out. Express. Get passionate. When two people can argue lovingly, they can both get their anger out, they can holler and yell, neither of them taking it personally, and then the priorities are revealed. Once this is done a few times, you don't have to do it anymore. The channel and Daniel used to argue all the time, and then they have to dismantle and redo their arguments to try and figure out what in the heck's going on. They would have to hear each other and listen and go back and forth and work on this issue and work on that issue and da 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 and so on, and keep going over it and over and over until they got clear. Phew. Ha. Okay. It was very satisfying. And right after, it would become a really, really nice makeup. Making up is so much fun. It feels so, so good. Okay? And in a relationship, understand, if you will argue with someone, but argue lovingly, you can resolve it in very little time. And go straight to the makeup part. That's the fun part. Or in a business association or a friendship association, you can go straight to the good stuff. Getting something done or having fun or caring about each other or something. You can then get the intuitional hits of what to do. But as long as you're engaged in the social integrator, you don't get your intuition. Your intuition is connected to soul. Connected to body, soul, is that your messaging? That's your knowing. Unless you have connection to that, you don't get the intuition on how to solve problems. Those that persist after you hold your resonance, which is very few of them, actually. Now, if you're in a relationship with someone who's very, very difficult, your pattern has been part of the social integrator pattern. If the person is very intimidating, you've been intimidated. If the person is very whiny, you've been very guilty and angry. If the person, whatever the person is doing, you've been playing the other side. You've been playing the game. But you've been playing it more unconsciously. And you think, I've got to be more aware. I've got to be more conscious. And then you go into the work mode, the earn mode. Or you go into the escape mode. That's what the social integrator has shared with you. We suggest instead that you go into the power mode. Tune in to soul. If you can do that, you will not take it personally. It's like any time you feel a certain challenge energy come up, you'll feel it in your solar plexus. If you stay connected to yourself enough, you don't have to be perfect at this, but enough, you can feel it happening in your stomach, in your abdomen somewhere. Eh! Tension. Uh-oh. You may think that you're in fear, but it's generally you'll feel the catch somewhere in your abdomen. Okay? When you, as soon as you feel that, say, oh, red flag, alert, alert, alert. Social integrator challenge. Message from the universe coming in. Step into power now. And you step into your observer, you detach. Do not take it personally. This is not something that's aimed at diminishing my ego. This is not something that's going to take away from my significance, my value, and my importance. I am valuable. I have significance as a spiritual being. So whatever they're doing, I'm standing in this, in my light. Now, from that position, listen. Hear them. Pay attention to them. See them happy. A lot of times arguments don't even have to happen. A lot of times discussions don't have to even go anywhere, because as long as you're connected here, you're going to get the insight on what to do, on how to resolve whatever it is. It's just going to come to you. Now, it takes a little practice, but when are you going to start? Start now. Practice. And when you listen and when you really hear them, when you're really hearing what your partner is saying, say, I hear you, I really hear you, I hear what you're saying. Remember, social integrator, what's going on in their head about themselves? What do they think about themselves? You know, if you'll just give yourself the chance, you know, just like, you know, when you're out and about and you're in a store, you're standing in line at a supermarket counter or something. There's like 3 or 4 people in line. And what do they think about themselves? Just tune into each person. Don't think about yourself, how you look. Okay, do I look okay? Don't think about, am I standing strong enough and whatever? Or, gee, this line is going on so long. I really despise having to spend all the time standing in a line. Oh, butch, bitch, 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 bitch. Dissatisfaction. Oh, I don't feel comfortable. My toe is kind of uncomfortable. Oh, I have an itch. Okay, huh. Ah, boring. Stay out of all that stuff, okay? That's social integrator stuff. That keeps you stuck in an old you. Instead, when you stand in a line at a supermarket, for example, send love to everybody. Send beams of light and love from your heart to everybody else that's in the line. And then, with compassion, go and look at a person in the line and go kind of into their head and just imagine that you're stepping into them and looking through their eyes at their life. You can tell by the way they hold their body. Do they like themselves? Are they worried? Are they sad? Are they angry? They think they're too good for this waiting in line at the supermarket? What? What is it? Where are they coming from? Are they feeling overwhelmed and pressured by the challenges of their lives? You could tell. Some of you have actually done this, and you know, my gosh, I can read people. Yes, you can, if you stay out of your own ego stuff. If you start paying attention to other people, rather than always focusing on, am I okay, am I okay, am I okay, am I okay, am I okay? And think of yourself, I'm a loving, powerful reality creator. I'm radiant with my light. I live according to my own truth. I have love and compassion for all beings. You think, well, my gosh, this is more than just working on a relationship. Yeah, because every relationship is your opportunity to experience your divinity. Why do you want a love relationship in the first place? Everybody wants love. Why? Because love is the divinity. You want a friendship because you want love. It's just a different form. You want more divinity there. You want a really good business partner. You can work together and you can be like soulmates in business and get some incredible things done and build a dream and vision together because it's love.